Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. The first Friday of every month, Vegan Nation offers a special feature, a two-minute segment of Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tips. Coming up is Alfie with vegan parenting tip number 3.
My name's Ha'el, and I'm vegan.
My name is Trayu. We're vegan.
Are you vegan?
Mama, it's your turn to talk.
It's my turn to talk.
This is my mom, Alfie.
If you would like to boost your kids' iron consumption, one great way to do so is through iron cookware. Using iron pots and pans actually adds the essential nutrient to the food in significant amounts. The more acidic the food, the more it draws the iron. I will even purposefully add an acid like citrus when cooking something like beans or soup, which is needed anyway to help your body absorb the iron. And rarely I miss the opportunity to cook something acidic in iron cookware like tomato sauce. That just maximizes the food's potential. That was Alfie's vegan parenting tip, but remember there's more beneath the surface.
I think, therefore I am a vegan. World peace begins in the kitchen.
Vegan Nation celebrates International Respect for Chickens Day, May 4th, and I'm very honored and happy that my guest, Dr. Karen Davis, who is a writer, author, and founder of United Poultry Concerns in Virginia, is joining us to share her wealth of knowledge. She received her PhD in English from the University of Maryland, where she taught for many years. Thank you, Dr. Davis, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Well, thank you, Marlene. I'm really delighted to be on your show to talk about chickens and about our annual International Respect for Chickens Day, May 4th, and we designate the entire month of May as International Respect for Chickens Month, and we urge people to consider every single day as Respect for Chickens Day.
Yes, that's wonderful, and I think it's in our evolution that we're coming into a higher consciousness to expand our circle of compassion. I would like to ask you about your influence on the media celebrity Ira Glass from the Public Radio International, the host of This American Life, and on the David Letterman show, how he pronounced your influence in his expanding circle of compassion.
Well, absolutely. This is one of those situations that I like to tell people about because it highlights the fact that you never know how people you talk to about chickens or about animal rights and veganism are going to ultimately respond to your message. You may feel that they're never going to change or that they're just resistant, and then lo and behold, you're surprised to learn that, hey, they did respond to your message. They did become vegan or vegetarian. So what happened was that Ira Glass, back in the mid-1990s, every year he would air something called the Poultry Slam, and it would always be in the fall between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And he would have numerous voices come on, as he does in all of his shows, to give their take on chickens and turkeys and ducks, and all of the voices would be negative and derogatory toward the birds. So when I learned about this show, I launched a campaign through United Poultry Concerns urging our members to send to Ira Glass stories and photographs about their chickens and also about their turkeys or their ducks and how nice they are, how affectionate and intelligent and loving, and for Ira Glass to see that there are many people who care about chickens and who value them and appreciate them. And so one day I got a call from his producer inviting me to be on the next Poultry Slam that was coming up that fall. So I said I would consider being on the show on condition that Ira Glass would first agree to visit our chicken sanctuary and meet and watch our birds and get to see who they are and how they behave in the yard and how different they really are from the kinds of negative stereotypes that were being aired on his Poultry Slam. So he agreed to visit our sanctuary, and he came down one Saturday afternoon and spent the entire afternoon. We spent a couple of hours just talking about the situation, And he spent a couple of hours outside just visiting with our chickens and observing them and just kind of being in the midst of them. And this experience apparently was really decisive. As he later described it, I had no idea that what his attitude was going to be when he left our place later that day in the evening. And I did appear as one of the voices on the last poultry slam. About a year later, I got an email from somebody saying, did you know that yesterday Ira Glass was on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on National Public Radio, and he was describing this woman he called Karen Davis, who had launched a crusade against the poultry slam. And he thought at the beginning of this crusade or this campaign, what a ridiculous campaign it was, that it would never succeed, and how could we even hope that people would ever stop eating chickens because they're eaten so massively all over the planet. But then the interview on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me proceeded to the point where he said, well, as a matter of fact, despite that having been his initial attitude toward our campaign, when he met our chickens and spent time in the chicken yard observing the birds and watching them and just seeing how nice they are and how innocent and how they love to take their sun baths and their dust baths and perch on branches and socialize together very cheerfully, that it gave him such a new idea of chickens that he became a vegetarian as a result. And then about a year or so later, he appeared on a late night show. And that was really wonderful because he sat there and he started out again saying that, you know, he had been attacked almost by a chicken group that was trying to get him to appreciate chickens and speak kindly of them, and turkeys too, and to stop airing the poultry slam. And he said how at first he thought this was a ridiculous campaign and that chicken consumption is an Armageddon worldwide, and how could a little group like ours ever hope to make a dent. But as the interview with David Letterman proceeds, Ira Glass becomes increasingly serious. And at first people in the audience are laughing and tittering and everything, and they think it's real funny. But then it becomes increasingly serious. And then finally, and Ira Glass talks about how he watched our chickens and he saw that some were, as he said, shy and others were more assertive, and they had their various personalities, which were very affecting for him to recognize. And so finally David Letterman says to him, well, so did this have any ultimate effect on you? Did you become a vegetarian? And Ira Glass said, yeah, well, as a matter of fact, yes, I did. So it has a happy ending. I tell people that as animal activists, we never want to give in to foregone conclusionism. We never want to assume that people are not going to care about chickens, or that people are never going to change their diet to a compassionate vegan diet. That we always have to accentuate the positive and be affirmative in our advocacy about why these birds matter, why animal advocacy and animals themselves matter, and why a vegan diet, and what I like to call an animal-free diet, is an ethical diet, a healthful diet, and certainly an environmentally friendly diet.
Thank you, Dr. Davis. And could you share with us some of the insights of how the oppression and exploitation, violence and abuse towards hens in the egg industry is related to misogyny and the oppression and exploitation of females throughout history, of women and girls?
Certainly the idea that chickens are obviously viewed as a being who only exists for his or her body parts, it certainly has something to do with how women have traditionally been viewed by many societies throughout history. And the fact that farmed animals, for example, chickens, hens maybe in particular, are treated and viewed as passive beings upon whom an agent or an agency acts, penetrates. So you have this idea of these beings are here for us to invade their bodies as we wish, and they themselves have no agency in the situation, and often it's represented as that the animals or the hens themselves are happy to be treated the way they're treated, or that they give their eggs to us, or their flesh for that matter. They give their flesh to us willingly. So there are a lot of attitudes that have certainly linked women with especially farmed animals, because farmed animals are considered to have been bred for docility, you know, being docile and being passive and being unable to live in the so-called wild, just as women have often been considered incapable of functioning well outside the kitchen or the bedroom or anyway, the household.
It's time to take a break. We've been listening to Dr. Karen Davis, founder of United Poultry Concerns, talking about the International Respect for Chickens Day on May 4th. And she's also helping us to understand the intersectionality of misogyny with animal agriculture.
Hi, this is Cliff Goodwin, and you're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts. Online at WCUW.org.
During this break, I have a special guest joining me here in the studio. He's celebrating his birthday, and he has interesting, wise words to share with us.
Hi, my name is Eddie Raymond.
Happy birthday, Eddie.
Thank you.
And how old are you?
47.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. And what did you get on your birthday?
Vegan chocolate cake. I am a vegan. I love animals. Reggae is a good cow. I walk with her. I love reggae. I love the whole animals. I love chickens. I feed animals. I take care of it. I take care of Lucy. I rescue Lucy. I help her feed Vin Lucifer down a happy field. I like the vegan coffee with almond milk in it. Steam almond milk.
Anything else you'd like to say?
I like the vegan restaurants around. German restaurant out there. I love the, because Marlene is my best friend.
All right. Thank you, Eddie. And happy, happy birthday.
Thank you. You are listening to WCUW 91.3 FM.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We're joined by Dr. Karen Davis, founder and director of United Poultry Concerns, and she'll be giving us insights into the connection of the oppression and exploitation of hens and how that relates to past and current misogyny.
Now, women in our society, however bad they have it, they don't have it anywhere close to how bad the bird and any farmed animals have it, really, particularly in an industrial situation. These birds, they couldn't be more miserable. There's no greater misery. But certainly we see throughout the world that, you know, women are treated and very badly, that rape is still not even considered a war crime, I don't think, yet, even though it's a fundamental weapon of war and intimidation and infliction of terror and so on. And I would recommend, too, that people who are interested in the article that I wrote, my article is a critique of the environmental deep ecology movement from the standpoint, in a certain sense, of a factory-farmed battery hen. And my article is called Thinking Like a Chicken, Farm Animals and the Feminine Connection. And if people go to our website, which is upc-online.org, so it's upc-online.org, and right on our homepage on the left side, there is a topic, Thinking Like a Chicken. And if people click that on, they will see many articles that I have written about chickens and about animal rights and related issues. And one of them is Thinking Like, titled literally, Thinking Like a Chicken, Farm Animals and the Feminine Connection, which was originally published in an anthology called Animals and Women, Feminist Theoretical Explorations. And it was published by Duke University in 1995, and the anthology is edited by Carol Adams and Josephine Donovan. And I think that article really does capture the connections that I see between, let's say, battery-caged hens and women, and that is the views of women and hens that have linked these two beings, types of beings, together as being passive and docile and unable to function autonomously and not able to live in the so-called wild, which again translated into the human scene would be out in the workplace or out in society doing work other than just having babies and being there for the men. So I recommend my article. It's had a huge effect on many people, and this past weekend I was a speaker at the annual Institute for Critical Animal Studies this year held at Binghamton University in New York, and I was delighted to meet so many professors who told me that they regularly use this article in their classes, in their English classes or their social studies classes. I was very pleased to see that that article and some others I've written are actually getting into college classrooms through these professors, through the academic channels.
Thank you, Dr. Davis. Most people are very compassionate. If the public knew the tremendous amount of suffering that chickens and turkeys and ducks and geese are experiencing, maybe it could have some impact. Can you share with us some of the methods that are being used both on factory farms as well as on organic small family farms?
Well, we urge people, and we urge people in our movement, to not talk about the problem being factory farming, but to say it's animal farming, because the real problem is animal farming itself. And really, when you get down to it, all animal farming is factory farming. That is, the attitude towards the animals being farmed on the part of farmers or whoever is exploiting them for money and consumption.
I'm a girl on death row, crushed and tortured with my clan. And I'm gonna lay 500 eggs in my 19-month lifespan.
Really does not have the kind of attitude and view of them that we would call compassionate and truly respectful and humane. And the attitude of farming since time immemorial towards animals being raised for human consumption, whether on the farm or being sold to the local town or cities far and wide, has always been that these animals are brought into the world to be food for us. They were given to us by God or whoever as a resource. And that attitude translates into behaviors that include mutilating them in various ways, mutilating their genitals. In the case of chickens, mutilating their beaks. It was actually farmers in San Diego who, in the 1940s, began to burn off the beaks of chickens as they started to crowd them increasingly and take them off the earth and put them into cages. And as soon as these farmers started to take the chickens off the earth and put them into cages and confine them and crowd them, that's when pecking problems developed amongst the birds, because chickens are natural-born foragers. They dig in the earth for food and as part of their exploratory behavior. And our chickens out in our sanctuary, where we're located here in Virginia, anybody who walks outside and looks at our birds is going to see how much just digging in the soil they do. And they need to do that. It's genetically implanted in them through evolution to do that. So once they cannot forage, once they cannot run around and do the perching and the things they want to do, then aberrant or distorted behavior patterns develop, and then farmers will deal with that, what is a problem for them from a commercial standpoint, and certainly for the birds because the birds are suffering, then they will impose mutilations on them or other ways, find other ways to continue to raise them in conditions that are not satisfactory. Again, crowding, being taken off the land. Mutilations go back way back in history. It's a long story, whether it's chickens or other animals. It's a long story, and it isn't just Western capitalism starting in the 20th century, but the whole history of animal farming is not a picture of happiness, really, when you get down to it. But chickens, for example, even if they are called organic or they're have some other happy-sounding label, they usually are almost always, if they're being used and raised commercially, they are born in mechanical hatcheries. They never, ever have any contact with their own mothers or their own fathers. When chickens are commercialized, the eggs are taken away from the mother hen, the fertilized eggs. They're put in these mechanical drawers in these huge hatcheries. So the birds are born without any experience of a family life, no mother, no father. The hens particularly, who are going to be used in any type of egg production, have their beaks burned off, or they also have an infrared type of laser that causes their beaks to crumble off after a week or so. It's very painful and cruel. And then the birds are often sent by airmail to these various small farms or for 4-H or for classroom hatching project. And the transportation of baby birds in dark boxes in airplanes is another extreme cruelty. Of course, we can assume that they're very scared. When they finally arrive at their destination, many are dead or dying, and many are dehydrated, so that even if they seem like they might be okay on arrival at their final destination, often they die soon after because their internal organs dehydrated from the lack of water that they needed in those early days of having just hatched. And then often the birds are very, very crowded in a lot of these so-called alternative farms and often are raised totally indoors. Really, if you go to some of these so-called organic or cage-free operations, you would be hard-pressed to see the difference between those and a standard factory farm. It would really be the scale that would be different, because bona fide factory farms or industrial farms always involve many, many, many thousands and even hundreds of thousands of birds in the complexes. At some point or other, when birds, for example, stop laying enough eggs to be considered commercially worth keeping, or in the case of the birds who are bred for meat production, well, of course, they're going to be slaughtered. So either they're going to be slaughtered on the site if it's a small operation.
I'm a hen on death row in a prison close to you, and I know my head is gonna come right off once my laying months are through.
And slaughter is very cruel and very painful. Throat cutting is not a painless operation by any means. It's horrifying, it's cruel, because the neck of the birds is full of pain receptors and other kinds of receptors that experience a cold knife cutting in through the skin, through the flesh, into the trachea and the blood vessels and so on. Or they may be gassed with carbon dioxide. They may be thrown 200 or 300 or 400 into these metal boxes, and then they shoot cold, freezing cold carbon dioxide gas into these metal boxes, and that actually freezes the birds, and it's a horrible death.
So tell me, where did all the boy chicks go? Aren't they coming out to play? Well, surely they weren't all given the gas at the age of just one day.
Surely not.
Surely they weren't just tossed aside and suffocated in a vat.
I assume that you and your listeners know that right now many, many millions of chickens and turkeys, and chickens both in the meat industry and in the egg industry, are being gassed and subjected to suffocation by firefighting foam and being stomped on and kicked and everything else. Many millions in Iowa and in other states, and of course in Asia and elsewhere and in Canada, because of this huge outbreak of avian influenza, what they call highly pathogenic avian influenza. Some birds have actually shown symptoms of this disease. Others have not shown the symptoms, but they're doing it as a kind of preventative strike approach. This is just a mass extermination of many millions of birds who, if they lived, they would not have any better fate either, because they're just doomed living the way they're forced to live, so that people can have their flesh or their eggs, and all for nothing, because, as you know, and I hope most of your listeners know, that we do not need to eat eggs or any animal flesh.
And Dan Ferraro from Bizarro said, put a two-year-old in a playpen with an apple and a rabbit. If it plays with the apple and eats the rabbit, you've got a carnivore. Ellen DeGeneres said, I went vegan 'cause I love animals. I saw the reality.
and I just could not ignore it anymore.
Or drink any animal's nursing milk in order to be healthy, and that we would be much better off without having those products in our bodies. And we always tell people that misery is not a health food, and all of these animals, these birds and other animals, really do not have happy lives where they are treated with the respect they deserve and where they have conditions that really are suitable to them and their family life when they're considered a farm animal.
Thank you, Dr. Davis, for your powerful, effective work in decreasing suffering and increasing compassion in our world, which will be a benefit to everyone.
Leo Tolstoy said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And Albert Schweitzer said, till we extend the circle of our compassion to all living things, we will not find peace.
A word about International Respect for Chickens Day, because we do want to encourage people to do something for chickens. You know, not to just agree with us, but to do something. And International Respect for Chickens Day is, or really the month of May, we urge people to do an action for chickens on or around May 4th, including anything from leafleting on a busy street corner to holding an office party or a classroom celebration to writing a letter to the editor or doing a radio call-in, tabling at their local church or school or shopping mall, holding a vegan open house, simply talking to their family or friends or even strangers about the plight and the delight of chickens and how people can help them. So we want people to know about the plight and the delight of chickens, but we want people to go further than that. We want people to do something. We want people, obviously, to stop eating chickens and stop eating their eggs. And we want people to be vegan and to choose an animal-free diet, but we also want people to incorporate activism into their lives, however they can do that. And so we want people to do something for chickens that reaches out to other people educationally.
So we've been joined by Dr. Karen Davis, founder and director of United Poultry Concerns, based in Virginia. And let's give a cluck and go vegan.
That's right. Give a cluck, go vegan. So, yes, thank you so much. We'll actually be in Washington, D.C. I'll be up in Washington, D.C. on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. The 2nd, we will be leafleting at the White House for chickens, as we do every year for International Respect for Chickens Day.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, and thank you for helping the chickens.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, Marlene.
The website of United Poultry Concerns is upc-online.org. I'd like to thank Dr. Karen Davis for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. And let's go out with some more of Vegan Smythe's tunes.
Since we can lead healthy, happy, and fulfilling lives without harming those who share this world with us, why on earth wouldn't we? Since we can lead healthy, happy, and fulfilling lives without harming those who share this world with us, why on earth wouldn't we? Oh, since we can lead healthy, happy, and fulfilling lives without harming those who share this world with us, why on earth wouldn't we? Oh, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we?
Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.